Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. As is our annual custom, this is the time of year when we share with you excerpts from the recent Economic Outlook Conference presented by the University of South Carolina's Moore School of Business in Columbia. Today's excerpt comes from Steve Benjamin, Mayor of Columbia, South Carolina.
I do believe that this new legislation presents some significant and incredible. One test, I'm going to do this one day with someone. I want someone to talk about opportunity zones and not use the word opportunity when you talk about them. I think it's almost impossible. But I think it does present a wonderful opportunity for the people of this great country. It's so important to note that in this era in which we live, in which there is not enough pragmatic, bipartisan leadership, to recognize that the origins of this legislation began with Senator Scott partnering with Senator Cory Booker, the Republican representative from Ohio, Pat Tiberi, and Ron Kain from Wisconsin, the Democrat. Bipartisan legislation advanced by Senator Scott. Every meeting I had with him over the last several years, he would bring up his Investing in Opportunity Act. It was something he worked on closely with Steve Glickman and John Lettieri from EIG. John, of course, is a Spartanburg, South Carolina native. It was Senator Scott's issue. It was what he thought was a significant answer to some of the challenges facing our communities. And when the opportunity presented itself during the debates around the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017, he didn't hesitate. He saw a window and he jumped through it. So I think it's so important to give Senator Scott the credit. We spent a lot of time over the last several months, over the last year, Indeed, working with cities across the country, working with investors, working with philanthropic institutions, everyone trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen with opportunity zones. We have across this region about 12 census tracts that have been identified. Our governor was one of the first governors who caught the first deadline. He didn't ask for an extension. He engaged with all of us on the local level. And we were able to identify some of our priority tracts that we thought were just needing that extra push. The extra push that we thought opportunity zone designation could potentially provide for us. Unlike enterprise zones or empowerment zones or renewal communities, there aren't 40 opportunity zones around the country. There are over 8,700 of them. Over 8,700 of them that span urban areas, suburban areas, and rural areas all across this country. There's barely a part of America that's not touched by opportunity zones. But if we don't move, and particularly in the world in which we live in right now, where the political pendulum swings back and forth pretty quickly, if we aren't able to show from the very beginning that the concerns that Senator Scott has raised in every meeting I've had with him, that the concerns that Secretary Mnuchin has raised when we met with him, that all of our mayors have met, that we cannot just create another incentive for tax shelters. We cannot just make developers and syndicators wealthier. We have to make sure that we're affecting people on the ground, that we're deploying effective, comprehensive community development strategies that make sure the people who live in these census tracts also benefit from these investments. That's so important. Infrastructure, we believe, is one of those spaces where there's significant opportunity across America. Depending on where you are and who you talk to, there's at least somewhere between a $1 trillion and $4 trillion need across this country. The American Society of Civil Engineers estimates there's a $4 trillion need that if we don't address it, then over the next several years, we're probably going to see about $7 trillion in lost business sales, 2.5 million jobs lost across this country. The defining characteristic of a developed nation is the ability to deliver clean water, to treat your own sewage, to make sure you have bridges and roads that work. Every $1 billion you spend on infrastructure, you're able to put 15,000 people to work in construction jobs. The ability to look local is something that we all need to make sure we're focusing on. I know there are some municipal governments and other local governments are looking at establishing their own funds, and others are just looking for ways to incentivize the way in which capital goes. And obviously, spending some time around resiliency planning as these wet weather events continue to batter the United States, spending some time looking at issues like broadband, how we deliver solar across public buildings, maybe across the region. In our 12 census tracts around here, we're talking about 14 public schools, Columbia College, Palmetto Health, now Prisma, the old Columbia Mall, and a number of bridges, highways, and rails. And I will tell you, there's a whole lot of thinking going on around the community as to how we can come together to make sure that as this capital is deployed, that a significant amount of it is deployed right here in the Midlands of South Carolina.
You've been listening to an excerpt from the recent Economic Outlook Conference presented by the University of South Carolina's Moore School of Business in Columbia. Today's excerpt came from Steve Benjamin, Mayor of Columbia, South Carolina. Remember, you can hear this show again at our webpage, southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can also subscribe to this podcast. With the South Carolina Business Review, this is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.